to all of you. Really thank God for this day. Last week I was extremely busy. The children were doing the SAT test. Thank you for all your prayers. Deborah was totally relaxed, and she finished her SAT test last Friday. Every single day was really good, and today she was telling me that she believes that she performed very well and she's going to pass her SAT test. So I thank God for that. Betsy, she started last Thursday. She's going to finish this Tuesday. And her first and second test was good. Yes. So we thank God. It's one of the things that I thank in God from the bottom of my heart when I think about this family, this church, the way we're looking not only after adults but our children as well. As a parent, to see Ken calling all the children at the front and asking leaders to come forth, lay hands on the children and pray for the children. And as I have noticed that my children are among the group that came at the front here, it was a comfort to me to see that the battle that I have, I'm not alone, but the church is standing by my side and they have prayed for my children. So it kind of released the stress that I was carrying. And I thank God that everything went smoothly for Deborah, and it's going smoothly as well for Betsy. Thank you, church. The way that the Lord has put in my heart to share with you is in Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. In fact, is the last recommendation that the Lord gave to his disciples. The last message of Jesus in Matthew. I'm very excited about this. And whenever I'm led by the Holy Spirit to speak about it, it brings to me challenge in regard to the responsibility that I have as a Christian, as a child of God. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read from verse 16 to 20. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Heavenly Father, we stand in on your promise today, as Jesus promised to be with us every day. Even now we believe, O Lord Jesus, that you are alive in our midst. Reason why we are worshiping you with all our heart. We are celebrating the victory that you gave us upon the cross. And we thank you, Father, for this promise which is becoming alive in our midst. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to point out three things that we have in this promise, in this last message that Jesus gave to the disciples. First of all, I would like to attract our attention to the group that received the message. Here, the Bible is saying that they were disciples. It's not every believer who is a disciple. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we count you among the believers because you believe. But there is a process from a believer to a disciple. The disciple is the one who can be the reflection of the master. It's the person in whom we can read the character of the master. He can represent fully the master. Or, at some extent, he can represent the master. It's like I mentioned the other day, when our pastor is traveling, he doesn't have any worry at all. Because him and the leadership have become one. They're looking in the same direction. They have the same mind. They're pursuing the same goals. So he can go away for 2 weeks, even a month, knowing that everything will be done according to the plan. Was looking at prophecies and looking at how the prophecies are being unfolded in this age, and putting a special attention to what is going on in America and in the world. Analyzing the American politics, I came across some facts that one day, by God's grace, we must share here together, which shows the power which is behind the presidency. It's true, the current president, when he came to power, or where he was doing the rally to get the power, the African community or African American community was really, really excited to see a black face in the White House. But the reality is, whether it's a white face or a black face in the White House, there is a power behind that design the politics, the American polity. Whichever face that will be there will only represent the value that that power behind has designed. Try to look at all the promises and declarations that President Obama made. Today, he's coming back to reality. Even things that he has condemned into George W. Bush, today he's following the same path. Those who were at Guantanamo Bay, the first day of presidency, what did he do? He closed it. And last week, what is he doing, or what he did last week? He's reinstoring That's Guantanamo Bay. Where is the truth? The same last week, he appointed at the head of the American justice a lesbian to rule. She's not a single person or the first person. There is a dozen of those who are already there to enforce the law. Do you think that he's the one who's designing everything? No. There is a power behind. All he can do is to follow that path and to do faithfully according to what has been designed. So, if it was Hillary Clinton there, or McCain, or whichever other president today, he would follow the same path that the authority has designed. There is a oneness between any president and that power behind. So he represents, in some sense, the beliefs and principles of the power sustaining him. Even though in his heart he wants to do something else, he can't. He has to follow the path. Because he has to be one with the power behind. He's representing them. As I was sharing with my fellow Africans, I said, today you're taking Obama as a savior, role model, this and that, all the names that you're giving to him. Get ready also to be disappointed. Get ready to be disappointed. Well, looking at the prophecies, we can understand something. The days are reaching the end. The church has to be ready. And we have to do what we are ought to do. What the Lord is expecting us to do. He called each and every one of us from the dirtiness and darkness where we were. As Ken said, the light came. We received that light. And I love what he said, that light has to absorb darkness. If we are the light in this world, how bright this light of ours is shining. We are surrounded by darkness. Sin is applauded everywhere. Media is embedded by wickedness. We go in schools, the same thing. What can we do? Let our light shine and absorb the darkness which is around us. And to do that, we have to be really disciples of Jesus. Because if we are disciples of Jesus, we will fully represent him to the world. Like Obama today is representing what the federals and those powers behind him are dictating him, we have also to present the values of Jesus. And by presenting those values, his power then will be operating in us, through us. So, the three things I would like to point out. He started by saying to the disciples that all power and authority in heaven and on earth that is given to him. all power and authority. People today, they are attracted by witchcraft, Satanism, occultism, because in those things they see what they can call power or energy or miracles. That's what a mere human is looking for, power and authority. In those fraternities that they are joining, lodges that they are going to, and whatever we can call them, they are promised power, the power of darkness, and they are seeing that power also in action. Since their heart are longing to get the financial authority or political authority, and those occultists can give them that power they're looking for, they go to it. I have a website of black in America who are chasing after greatness. In that website, everything is black and white. They join in Freemasons. They're becoming Freemasons themselves to get the power in this world, to be successful in whatever they're doing, business, music, film, or whatever they want to follow as path. They are promised power in those occultism, and they join it. But I was saddened to see that even those that on the eyes of the world they are seen to be disciples of the Lord Jesus, in reality they are not. They're following the same power the world is offering. The same route that the enemy of our souls have traced for them, they're going there, but keeping the name of Jesus. One of them has 25,000 members. And in June, he will be in London, in one of the big churches in London, among the speakers. I went through his website. He didn't hide anything at all. When you go into his profile, he wrote where he's rooted. He's member of Alpha Phi Kappa fraternity. He's one of the many thousand branches of Freemasonry. He has that boldness even to put it on his own website. But he's counted as a great man of God. Because today, greatness in the things of God, the majority are looking at how many people are following you. As he's got 25,000 members, then he's great. Even though he's demonic, the power operating in him is not this power Jesus is claiming to have. As he says, all power and authority has been given to me. And if we live in him, then the same power which was given to him is ours as well. But what I love with our God is that all the glory has to be given to him. He knows how to tune down, how to control the power that has to operate in us. imagine, even though I'm talking to you today, he put all that power in me, release it to be operative. Will I continue to be humble? I don't know. But I doubt. I really doubt. Not that I don't love the Lord. I really love him with all my heart. But he has to take me step by step, giving me the portion that I can handle in the particular season I am in, a moment I am in, challenges that I'm facing. Otherwise, I can even start looking down at my pastor. Because I'm raising the dead, I'm doing this and this and that. I say, Pastor, come and bow before me. I forget that I am under his leadership, his authority. So the one who knows my heart more than I know my own heart will give me what I need. Now, the more I'm coming closer to him, getting to know his heart, then he will add more power and more authority. Knowing that what is adding in me will not lead me astray from the right path that I have to follow. But humans, we don't have patience. Thinking about authority and power, we want it now. We want it now. For whose glory? For whose glory? If it's for the glory of God, then we have to be patient. We have to be patient. If whatsoever we're doing is for the glory of God, we will be patient. But when we're thinking about ourselves, we want that glory. We want people, when they see me, they say, this is a man of God. When they look at me, they say, there is power in this man. There is authority in this man. I want to share the glory of God. As he loves me so much, he will squeeze it, hold it to that same level which I cannot boast and say, I am the man. Until I learn to humble myself and to be able to master what he can give to me. Where he's still a child, says Galatians, he will remain under tutorial until he matures. Then he can take the power. He can enjoy fully his inheritance. And that's how our God operates. He will take us step by step. But the enemy will say, no. Don't worry about that. You want power, I will give it to you. But the price that these people are paying is huge. They're putting their own souls at stake. To have 25,000 members, it's brilliant. But I don't want them if it's in exchange of my soul. No, I don't. I prefer to pastor one, two people than 25,000. One or two that I'm going to take with me to heaven, that's brilliant. It's an achievement. The second point, he says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The second point, he wants to share that power and authority with us. He commissioned us to go to people from all the nations. When I was at Matesi doing some work on this verse, I loved it when I discovered that people of all nations is go to people from community groups. So you have to target community groups. As we are here in Doncaster, we have to look at the different community groups that we have in Doncaster. We have white, we have black, we have Asians, we have this and that. So all those community groups, we have to target them because we are sent to those community groups, starting from where we are here in Doncaster. And then we can think about other community groups as far as Rwanda and elsewhere. But all has to start from the community groups that we have here. Being part of this church and being black, I feel a responsibility on my shoulders to target the black community that is here in Doncaster and win them to the Lord, make of them the disciples, and see the Lord adding them to our number here. Just 3 or 4 of us black in this church is not enough. But whose responsibility is it? It's my responsibility. It's Maria's responsibility. It's Leon's responsibility. It's your responsibility as well. As much as I don't have only to look at the black community in Doncaster, I have to look as well at the white community. But I can have an easy access to the black community than Grace can have that access. Because they will straight physically relate to me. I'm black like them, so they can listen to what I have to say. In the same way, white people can be also easily related to you. It's not racism. It's natural. So he sent us to different community groups, not to make a publicity of our church. Like I went somewhere in Bradford, it was a big conference there, and the pastor said, when you go out there, don't take me wrong, don't talk about Jesus. Talk to them about our church. How it's a great church. Because people love to be part of the multitude, of the crowd. Talk to them how we are a mega church. Talk to them about me, your pastor, how wonderful I am. How people in our church here are wonderful. I felt like standing and saying blasphemy. But who would listen? Nobody would listen because people were doing this. Are saying, yes, this is a revelation. We switch people off. When we come off, believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. No. We have to change the strategy and talk to them how you are wonderful, brilliant. You refuse. You don't have a revelation. So I felt really, really bad in me. But also powerless. What
could I say? He's got a big name. His name is known in the world. Who knows Dharma? Nobody. So who's going to listen when I stand and say, no, what he's saying is wrong? We have only to elevate Jesus. We have to do what John the Baptist said, that let me diminished, vanished, for him to raise. We have only to point at Jesus. And I left that place, but I only pour my anger to the person who invited me there. Anyway. No, thank you. I'd rather stay home. This is the point. We are sent. When you are sent, you are expected to go. Are we going? Are we reaching out to the community groups that live in our neighborhood? It's a commission. We have to fulfill it. The one who's got all power and authority, he's sending us to make disciples, not to make fanatics. There is a big difference. What that pastor was asking member to do, the publicity of his wonderful church, the publicity of him, a great pastor, was just sending people to make other people to become fanatics of his church, fanatics of him. And fanaticism, when we come to the things of religion and spiritual things, it's a demonic spirit. We are not called to be fanatics of Jesus. No. No and no. He didn't call us to be his fanatics, but to be his disciples. To be his disciples. Reason why you see some believers, when they were receiving the word of God, the Bible says in Acts, they were receiving it with enthusiasm. But they didn't stop there. A fanatic will receive with enthusiasm and say, amen, end of story. And if you come to tell him, double check this, he said, get away from me. But they were checking to find out if what the apostles were teaching them were correct. They were not fanatics at all. How many churches today are full of fanatics? They are fanatics of the church because there is beautiful music. When you go there, everything is clappy, jumpy, and the atmosphere of music is putting you on time. Because out there, people are jumping, clapping, and everything is rock and roll. And you go to church, you find that same style. Fantastic. When I was at Matese, as I was sharing with someone yesterday, we had really a considerable number of young people. At a point that I was counted among old people there. Now you can imagine. And I can say 90% of them were not really born again. Although when they were leading us in worship, present worship, oh, you're going to forget all your misery, your stress. Because the music was fantastic. But when you look at what they are doing behind doors in our rooms, sitting in front of the laptop watching pornography, when it's a bit dark, you go in the football pitch, you see her, they are not married, they are not even fiancés, but kissing to death. And then you wonder what really is going on. Among the key things that the Bible College was accepting a candidate, you have to be born again. So when they went there, they claimed to be born again. They had references from churches, but the reality that we saw, it was something else. Now, what can we say? Are they disciples or just fanatics of Jesus? Because those same talents, because we had really talented young boys and girls, they could use those talents in X Factor and win. In Britain Got Talent or in the secular field, they could be successful there. But they are not even thinking to use those skills in the world. They want to use them in churches. But in reality, they don't want to change their nature. They don't want to live a life that is pleasing the Lord. They don't want to follow what each and every one of us have to follow to become a disciple. Hello, when we looked at, although we are few, but in many respects, each and every one of us is watching after another. That's what we call church. Is there anybody among us who is ignored by our leadership? If you have a case, the leadership will be on your case. And that's what we call church. You can be somewhere where you are forgotten in the multitude. If Ken is a leader there, he won't know your name. He won't know your address. When you face an issue, he won't know. Because you are melted in the multitude. As long as you can bring money for the business to go forth, stay there. Warm up the bench. We thank God for what we have here. But the challenge is still there. How much are we going out to make disciples? Because we can be content on what we have as evidence. Every time I come here, my mother here, she always gives me a hug and a smile. It's a great blessing. I can be content of that in my selfishness and refuse to share this blessing to other people. So every Sunday I will drive from Sheffield to here. And I enjoy myself. I get the blessing. That's all. He's saying, go and make disciples. In the process, that's why we have Wednesday teachings. Ken, God bless you. I love the joy that you manifested sharing the few things that came to you. And that's what John did when we were sharing blessing during communion. He came and told me, because I was not there on Wednesday, he shared with me that line, you say a line, you didn't really mention what was it in reality. He came with joy. May God bless you. We have a challenge even in this church. We have to go to reach out to people of all nations or to community groups that we have in this nation. And praise God, Britain is a multicultural nation where any community group you think of, you're going to find it here in Britain. So if we pray and we make ourselves flexible in God's hands and available, willing to fulfill this commission, He's going to use us. And that's where the power that is the first point will be poured in us. And that power will operate to save souls and to guide those souls until they become disciples. May God help us. I finish with the last point. The last point is a powerful promise. And this promise, He says that He will be with us every day. He promised to us a presence. But this presence is a divine presence. Is a presence full of power, because all power is given to Him. This promise of presence is a presence of authority. His presence in our midst, His presence in you, in me, is a presence of power, a presence of authority. Reason why we won't hesitate when we come across a sick person to pray and lay our hands, knowing that His presence is there. We are not alone. He's with us in the business of healing those who need healing. He's in us and with us. That presence, that power and authority is there to bring comfort to those who are grieving, to pull out of stress those who are really, really psychologically, spiritually, emotionally down. And when we pray with confidence, with boldness, because we know that the presence is there. The presence of power and authority is there. And before that presence, every knee must bow. There is no demonic spirit that can stand and challenge that power and authority. Even the power and authority that people are looking for in occultism, in Freemasonry, and all the witchcraft, those powers that they also call energies, they cannot at all stand before that power we're talking about. I don't know if I told you, once I went to visit my elder brother, the second in the family. He was in the army there back in Congo. He was a captain in the army with another captain in that new city where they sent him. But this friend of his that I knew he was coming to our place quite often, he was in Rosecrans. He was a Rosicrucian. I don't know if it makes sense. Rosicrucian. It's kind of Freemasonry, but another branch Yeah, it started in France, and it's a nocultic movement, really rooted very deep. So this guy, the friend of my elder brother, was a Rosicrucian. He had a snake, a big snake in the house, connected to his rituals, the things that he was doing when he's doing his incantations and prayers and stuff. So, innocently, when we were eating at lunchtime, I said to him, "Big brother, don't you think that one day you're going to be the victim of your snake?" He said, "Young boy, what are you talking about? I'm the master of my snake. In fact, you are the victim of it." It's not the word really I'm looking for, victim. We say proie in French, lack the nourishment, bread. God bless you. What are we going to do with that you hear, Papa, man? Well, you are the prey of my snake. And again, innocently, I said, "No. In me, I have authority. I have power and authority upon your snake." He said, okay. I didn't know that what I was saying to him, it was really a challenge. Because he knew the power that is God in what he was doing as occultist. He knew the kind of power that was in his snake. And nobody in the natural could mess with him. And to see a young lad at that time, I think I was only 21. Now I'm double of that. Standing before him and saying that he's got power and authority upon his neck, where all his faith, all his, power lay, it was like insulting him, spitting on his face. But I didn't know. I went to visit the town, and when I came back in the evening, by coincidence, he was alone in the house. Just as I entered, I went, sat down, he came from his room, full of anger. He said, "Petit, oh, young boy, come here." It was a face that I'd never seen before, because he was a smiley guy, very kind, friendly. "Say, young boy, come here." I stood up and looked at him. I didn't understand what it was all about. "Say, you say that you have power over my snake." I smiled. "Hey, come. You're going to prove it now. We shall see." I stood up. I followed him in his room. The Lord gave me peace, such peace that I could not comprehend. I went in his room. I found a small table on which there was a triangle and candles on each corner, some powder there, and a big box in which that big boa was in. "Say, come closer, come closer." I put my hands in my pocket, because the Lord gave me peace and kind of power and authority that at that particular moment I could not understand. But I had complete peace in me. "Say, can you dare approach my snake?" So I went, the box was there, and I stood there looking at the snake. the snake started to go down, shrink there in the box. The box was not big enough for it to just disappear inside. And he said, Petit, or young boy, can you dare touch my snake? Because he was using a stick to make it unfold itself. And I was there. I said, if only I touch it now, it's going to dry and die. He understood that it was serious. I was talking business at that moment. And as a spiritual person, I believe he felt that power and authority. Say, okay, go out. He chased me out of his room. And when I was saying, if only I touch it, it's going to dry and die, I believe. So the Lord at that particular moment gave me the faith I needed. It's not by might or by power, by His grace. He gave me the portion of power and authority I needed. And I didn't have any doubt at all that by touching that snake, it's going to dry. And he felt it. And you know what followed? He started telling everybody that that young boy is a witch. So after doing my publicity that as I am a witch, he came to the conclusion saying, I know there are people who are messing up with the things of God, but this is a pastor. He changed the opinion himself. Just to say that the presence the Lord promised us, whenever we're facing danger, whenever we're facing challenges, that presence will make the divine power and authority to go into action. There is no magic you have to do. Or you don't even need to know how the person will be healed, how that snake will dry. You are not a physician to say, okay, the power will come, touch it, and then start to dry the blood, or no. You made a declaration by faith, and him who gave you that faith will do the rest. Now, may God help us. If we want to see that authority and power in action, we have only to make ourselves available. And we cannot make ourselves available without going down on our knees or praying, asking Him to stretch His hand and release that power in us. Because we are willing to go. When you're praying, of course you're going to pray for those community groups that you want to reach out to. And praying like that, He will grant those community groups favor to have repentant hearts. Repentance is a gift from above. Someone cannot just like this be repentant. No. No. It cannot happen. Only if you pray for those community groups, the Lord will give them repentant hearts. And then when you go to them, their hearts, even those hearts were like stones, will be softened already. And the message will pass through. And remember, His presence will be with you to allow you to have access to that divine authority and power to transform those lives, to change those lives. When we read the Acts of the Apostles, You're going to see Peter, for instance, healing people and saying, I heal you. Stand up. Why? The presence was there. He didn't even need to mention the name of Jesus. I was astonished when I looked at that. Because Jesus was already there in him. The presence was there with him, operating. And he could have that boldness, that confidence, saying, stand up, get healed. Take your mattress and go. And my Bible says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same one who used the apostles is the same one willing to use me and you. If only we are willing. He's here, ready to use us. Our world is dying. Darkness is everywhere. Deception has come even into the churches. When you want to talk serious business from God, people, they are not ready to listen. Because they're chasing after success. That those connected to the enemy has brought in the gospel. The apostle says, Lord, we have left everything. What are we going to get? They left families, they left houses, they left businesses. Like some of you here have sacrificed businesses, good jobs, and this and that. But today's gospel is, bring your seed and you'll be successful. You'll have houses, you'll have this, you'll have this, you'll have this and that. Not bring by law. This is the time. We have to make a difference. Remember in Matthew 13 verse 30, those who are just and the unjust have to grow together until the time appointed by God. But we have to put ourselves in the place where we belong. Although when we talk about Christianity, we have the mixture of everything, Catholics and everybody, they are inside. Those who are mocking God, they are also inside. But there must be a neat difference between those who indeed have given totally, completely their heart to the Lord, who are indeed disciples of the Lord, and who are going out to make disciples. There must be a difference. And trust me, that presence is with us. The Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. We shall not fail at all. No matter what challenge we're going to face in the world, we shall succeed. Let's stand up and pray. Hallelujah. I feel in my spirit, if we can hold hands, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to ask our pastor to pray and release that blessing that we need as a family, as a church, to stand up and let our light shine in this dark world. So people, when they look at us, They won't find any fanatics among us, but they will find only disciples who are committed to do everything according to the plan of our God.
Father God, I just, we just stand before you as a family. Father God, I just sense the presence of your power. I sense the presence of your anointing. Just beginning to flow down. Father, right now, just release your anointing amongst your people. Lord, release your anointing, O God, amongst your family. Quicken them. Let them feel the touch of your power, O God, flowing through their lives. Release them, Father, into the things of the kingdom of God. Release them, O God, to the ability to make disciples and touch lives. Father, we release that anointing. We release your power. We release the glory. And we exalt Jesus to be Lord of all things. And Jesus, we give you authority over our lives.
Amen.
We give you ourselves afresh, O God, again.
Yes, Lord.
We fail so many times, but yet yes. Your power and your blood and your anointing recovers us, Father. And we rest in your presence. And we say, Father, release that power amongst us.
Yes,
release
Lord.
Your anointing. Release your love.
Yes,
and release it, Father, for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we receive this blessing today. We know that your word cannot return to you without fulfilling its mission. We say, Lord, we are available. Let your presence fill us with your authority and power. And as we go in now to make every single community group that will come across to make them disciples, yes, Lord, we want to see miracles happening. We want to see signs and wonders happening. Give us words of knowledge, O Lord. Release, O Father, the grace of prophecy to operate, O Lord. Convince the hearts, O Lord. Give repentance to all those that you're going to put in our heart to reach out to. We pray even for Muslims who are in Doncaster here, Father. We pray for atheists who are in Doncaster, Lord. For those who don't even want to hear about your name, Jesus, or religion. Yes, Lord. Have mercy upon them. And grant them your favor, Father, so that when we'll come across them, their heart will be fertile soil where your word will find root and will grow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We also ask you, your authority and power operating in our midst today, heal those who are ill in our midst, in Jesus' name. By the same authority in Jesus' name, we command any illness, any sickness to come out in Jesus' mighty name. We speak healing upon our brother, upon our sister, in Jesus' mighty name. Those facing all sorts of difficulties, either financial, economical, social difficulties, we command those difficulties to give away in Jesus' name. To get loose in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are our answer. Be our answer in our emotional area. Be our answer in our spiritual part. Be our answer in our physical area. In Jesus' mighty name. We want to testify your name for the operation of your power in our midst. in our houses, in our families, in our church. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray for our brothers and sisters, members of this family who are not here today. Wherever they are, Father, any reality they are facing, Father, have mercy. Touch them, O Lord. Touch them, O Lord. Cause your power to work in them and bring them where they belong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.